ALDS action coming tomorrow right here on 96.5 The Fan. Royals and Yankees. Michael Wacha on the bump. Of course, you guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Coming up in about a half hour, we'll talk to one of the voices of the Royals, Ryan Lefever. It'll be good to get his perspective. He's in New York, of course. How's it with the Yankees right now? You hear Bob continues to talk about the pressure that the Yankees are facing, and I agree, but I want to get Ryan's perspective on that. Plus, in about an hour, we'll get into some Chiefs with Joshua Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor from ChiefsOnSI.com. There's some new reporting out today that Rashee Rice is going to get his knee scoped next week in Dallas, and that will provide some more clarity. Plus, there's a little bit of a conspiracy theory that's out there from one national reporter that I know.
You know what? I'm not even – just, God, give me one guess. Give me one guess of the national reporter who has a conspiracy theory around the Chiefs. Is it, without looking, Mike Florio?
You, my friend, would be correct.
I mean, how did I know? What a lucky guess.
We will get to that at some point today. But let's start with the Royals, of course, who do have an American League Divisional Series to get going tomorrow night in the Bronx. Right now, in the text line, you guys let me know as well. One, how are you feeling? But when you look at the Yankees and you look at what the Royals have been doing here as of late, what do you actually think has happened in this series? Because we know the first two are in New York. Game three will be the first home playoff game in Kansas City since 2015. If necessary, we get a game four on Thursday. And, of course, if this goes all the way to five, it goes back to New York in their ballpark there. But I think it's very simple for this weekend, is it not? Like, if you can find a way to split, that is a massive win heading into Wednesday. If you get swept, I don't think it's over, but boy, oh boy, you're in a position in a best of five where you would have to win out at that point in time.
Yeah, so and one of those games is going to be at the road.
I feel like a sweep is what is required for this team to go in advance out of the divisional series.
A split. Avoiding the sweep,
yes,
if you will. No, I'm 100% with you. I don't think there's any reason to assume at this point that what they can't do is just lose both games, which is why, once again, just like we said in the wild card series, just like we said in that final series against the Braves. So for the third straight series, the game that I cared the most about won. Get this one. Get game one, and then the entire series is kind of in your control. You think the Yankees have pressure now. Imagine if they lose game one of the series. Well, then the pressure reaches an entirely different level and an entirely different point where this team's going to have to find something kind of special, if you're the Yankees, to try to make a comeback against the Royals. A team that seemingly, when they need to win in the playoffs, for the last day, when they get here, they do these kinds of things. So, yeah, I would think that a split.
Do you think these games, though, are anywhere near what we saw in Baltimore? I know it's going to be stressful. I know we're going to be living and dying by every single pitch. It is that's what happens in this portion of the season, the postseason. But I'm speaking to the score itself, 1-0, 2-1. In a best-of-five series, I said it yesterday, and I know Vern kind of disagreed with me, but I just don't believe for this team to advance out of the ALDS that they can have a two-game stretch where they
score
three runs. Like, I don't believe if the Royals on Saturday and Monday combine for three runs, I don't know if that's good enough for a split.
I don't know how it is.
And I know we feel great about the pitching, although we're going to look at Michael Walker's playoff numbers here.
I dug into the numbers. It wasn't as good as I thought.
A little bit later on, even though the entire rotation, Walker and Lugo and Reagans in particular, have actually fared very well against guys like Aaron Judge, for example, Stanton and Juan Soto, and keep going through that, the Volpe, and keep going through the lineup. But I don't believe, no matter how great we now feel about pitching, that this can be another two-game stretch of just three runs if you want to get a sweep. A split. So that to me is the bare minimum for the Royals. Can they win Saturday night against Garrett Cole 2-1? I would not bet my money that that's the result on Saturday.
It obviously comes down to, like most of these series, pitching. The Royals had the second-best team ERA out of the starting rotation in baseball. It was only the Mariners who were better than them. But the Yankees weren't bad, and I think that's the difference between some of these teams they've beaten recently, not the Orioles. The Orioles actually had a good starting pitching staff a majority of the season, but they were injured and not at their full complement. They're going to roll out Garrett Cole, and then Carlos Rodon's had a really nice year for Game 1 and Game 2. So the pitching matchup, yeah, maybe is even, because it's Waka and Reagans, remember. It's not Reagans and Lugo. So for the first two games, and for the first time all postseason, I don't actually think you have the pitching advantage in the first two games. I think it's a net wash.
Well, I think game two they have the advantage.
Game two, fine, but I think game one, the Yankees do. So for the series, for the first, well, for the first two games of the series, I think the pitching matchup is a net zero. And so if you know that going into it, then find a way to get one. You guys are in the same position. We know the offense always favors the Yankees in this scenario. They've been way better at scoring runs, generally speaking. Okay. And now at this point, I'm starting to think the bullpen might favor the Royals because, the Yankees don't have a bullpen they truly trust, and the Royals' bullpen is on one hell of a hot streak.
Gerrit Cole in the postseason, just for that to that point.
That was a stat for a while.
Overall, though, his numbers are good. 10-6, ERA of 2.93, and 17 appearances in the postseason. His last outing in the postseason was 2022.
Okay.
The Yankees were not in the postseason last year. So with the Yankees, he had three games, was 2-1 with a 2.95 ERA, 23 strikeouts, and 18 and a third. It was the year before where everybody made a huge deal about it because in 2021
rocked.
He had one outing and a 13.5 ERA. But overall, his last time pitching in the postseason is
good.
Three games and a 2.95 ERA. So I don't buy into the, oh my gosh, Gerrit Cole sucks in the postseason stuff. His last postseason with three appearances, he had an ERA below three.
Yeah, he was really, really, really good. And typically speaking, right now, I don't think you have to be the greatest postseason performer for me to be like, well, I don't know if you can do it against this Royals offense.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a really good pitcher, odds are you're going to hold down the Royals offense. They're going to have to win game one, like 3-2. Like, they're going to need excellent starting pitching. That's the game where I might be on Vern's side where
you don't need four runs.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Like, honest to God, you're probably better off winning a game 3-2 because if it's 5-6, I don't think that favors you. We talk about this style makes fight all the time in the NFL. I'm like, hey, if the Chargers are going to beat the Chiefs, they're going to want to keep this game in the 20s because you used to not want to get in a a shootout with Kansas City. Now it's the opposite way. If the game's low scoring, I figure it favors Kansas City more.
Yeah, and as I said, we're going to get to Waka's numbers later, and I think maybe this is skewing you a little bit because they are jarring to see postseason.
Yeah, they are.
But,
quite a bit.
But the 2024 campaign, Michael Waka, we said time and time again, did not get talked about enough because of how great Lugo and Reagans were. Michael Waka, for the final 2.5 months, maybe three,
he's having a resurgence
of the season, was about as good as any pitcher in baseball other than Scooble. Like,
yep.
I mean, other than that, in Sale, the two guys are going to win the Cy Young in their respective leagues. Other than that, I think Michael Waka was a top five pitcher, top three pitcher in baseball. So I don't know if I'll fully give the edge to Gerrit Cole. I think there's, like most things, there's always a balance. I think people trashing Cole for postseason appearances are incorrect. We just told you the numbers there.
Statistically, that does not bear any fruit.
But also, I don't think this is a huge swing towards Gerrit Cole at all. Michael Waka has been one of the best pitchers in baseball since June.
Can I ask, as we're getting like ready for these games, and obviously we're out here at Community America for a Red Friday event, and you can get free lunch starting at 11, and a chance to win Chiefs and Saints tickets, but I'm going to be honest, the hasn't come up very often because the Royals haven't been in the playoffs in 9 years. Is there any reason why I can't know what the hell time the game starts on Wednesday?
Everybody,
is it just me?
Wait,
can I not know what time this game is starting on at least Wednesday? I take Wednesday and Thursday. And I understand that I don't have like a regular, I don't work at Community America, right? I don't have a 9-to-5. So the odds are, no matter when the Royals game starts, it's mostly fine for me. But like, can I not know what time the game starts on Wednesday? What the hell are we waiting on?
I think there's a lot of Royals fans that either have bought tickets and want to know or haven't bought tickets on the secondary market because they're not sure if they can make it yet until we get a game time. Yeah, I thought we would learn today, now that the entire divisional series is set, after seeing the Mets come back in epic fashion with Pete Alonso, who redeemed himself in the top of the ninth inning and sent the Brewers home in heartbreaking fashion, I thought, now that we know all the series, give us some times. I don't know, maybe we're going to have to wait till tomorrow or after game one of these AL and NLDS. I am a little surprised.
I got to wait until the end of Saturday now?
I think there's a lot of people are in the same boat as you that, as I said, have tickets or want to buy tickets, but they want to know, are they having to get out of work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or are they waiting and it's a 7:30 first pitch or something?
I'm going to guess because Dodgers Padres play that we can all make.
That'll be the late game.
I assume we can all make a general assumption that the 7:30 Central Time game will be Dodgers Padres. Maybe I'm crazy, but seems like a pretty good guess for Wednesday. But outside of that, I don't know. Like, because it'd be like, well, you know, it's the Yankees. They're going to want them at 5:30. The other game is the Mets and the Phillies. Those aren't exactly small TV markets. You still get New York. on the other end. But in addition to that, you get Philly and East Coast time and, you know, like all those other things. So I don't know. I'm just I feel like I should be able to know what time the game on Wednesday is. I don't feel like we got to sit on this information. I think you could just tell me.
I think plenty of people are with you. The other thing with just the way that the postseason has been set up and just the broadcast schedules and everything, and obviously you should be listening to Ryan and Denny and Jake on 96.5 The Fan anyway. But I thought it was Michael Kay, who's the voice of the Yankees, one of the voices of the Yankees, I should say. John Sterling is still going to call some postseason games for them. Is that he was saying, you know, for the wild card round, they really should just let the local announcers do the wild card games.
I think it'd be cool.
Now, for this round, like, we get on TV Bob Costas or whatever and Ron Darling.
Yep.
But I actually agreed with Michael Kay. I was like, you know what? That for the wild card rounds, how neat would that have been to let, you know, Rex Hudler and Ryan or whoever on the TV side as well call the wild card games? I think that's a great idea.
Listen to Jeff Passan sent out a tweet last night of the radio call of the Pete Alonso homer.
Oh, well, that was perfect.
It is a great call. But part of that is because that man making the call has watched 162 games of the Mets. He knows every little ebb and flow they've gone through, everything Pete Alonso has gone through over the last 3 years. He knows the team intimately. So when you hear that call from the Mets side,
I'm going to ask Ryan about this.
You know, I think you get the emotion more than a national broadcast can supply you. When you hear Denny make the call or Ryan Lefevre or Jake Eisenberg, when you hear HUD or like, you know, you're not going to get those same levels of emotion, but that also requires two broadcasts, right, in a way. Because you got to offer that.
I get that.
So both teams and just choose your broadcast.
So just listen to the radio anyway and sync it up with the TV and all is solved, you know?
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.